We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Irish music from Irish bands.
I've only met Bono and the Edge. I don't know the rest of them.
You've met Bono and the Edge?
You've only met Bono and the Edge.
Humble brag.
I can't attest for whether or not the rest of them are Irish.
Hey, what's the group that was from Scranton that made it big? Is that you two?
Yes.
We were in Monaco, as one does.
Oh, my goodness.
At a place called Club Billionaire. And here comes Diddy walking into the door behind me with this big entourage of people.
Bad boy, baby. Go out there and get daddy a hit. I'm going to take a nap.
Oomph, music going left and right. Music changes. Here comes Diddy. He's on the stage. He says, oh, it's the Edge's birthday. So, hey, why don't y'all come out here? He invites Bono and the Edge to come out. And we all sing happy birthday to the Edge.
He should have named that group Me Too, not You Too. It's all about him.
They step on the stage with Diddy. They start moving forward. They work the crowd a little bit. They're high-fiving. They're dapping. They're pouring more champagne. And me and my wife looked at each other. You know what? This night has peaked. So we just went back to the hotel and called it a night.
Wow. So you didn't meet Bono and the Edge?
No, they didn't.
No, they didn't. But you can imagine what it'd be like if they did, right?
Huh? You just saw him on stage.
Well, I dapped him up, hugged him, shared a glass of champagne.
He dapped him up and hugged him.
Two great friends hug.
Whatever happened to you two? Where did they go? They used to come out with an album every year. Suddenly they disappeared. Does anybody know where they came up with the name U2? Does anybody know the history of there, that where the name U2 came from? Does anybody know where the name U2 came from? Anybody over here know do you know where the name U2, where the name of the band U2 came from? Do you know where the name of the band U2 came from? The name of the band U2, this is true, came from the Untalented Two. And it was, Edge does all the drums and the bass, and Bono does the drums, and so. The Untalented Two. Boy, what about these records? Speaking of music.
One, two, three.
And here we go, Tim.
Here we go.
Here we go, Tim.
Here we go, Tony.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons from 2 to 6 on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Thanks for hanging out. Parkins and Spiegel on The Score. Spiegs will be back tomorrow. We'll be in Vegas at Circa doing the show there Thursday and Friday. The whole show's flying out on Wednesday night.
I'm leaving today.
You should. That's too long in Vegas, man. Wednesday to Sunday, I'm already worried about. That's a long time to be in Las Vegas. I'm hoping that the responsibilities of work and the wife will keep me at an even keel. But that's a lot of time to lose a lot of money at a lot of craps and blackjack tables. And with the tournament going on, got to be disciplined. Got to try to exercise discipline. It's not something I've been very good at many times in my past. But anyway, regardless. We're all looking forward, by the way, if anyone doesn't know, to Speaks' mother-in-law joining us on the trip.
Are we looking forward to it?
The content. We're looking forward to the content.
We found out pretty early in the show today that people love Bubba content.
They do. I believe it's pronounced Bubby, but...
Yeah, but come on, dude. Yeah, when your Bubba died, we called her Bubba.
That's right.
On the day that she died. Body wasn't even cold yet. We were making fun of her name.
That's right. So Speaks' Bubby
did the show that day, so I don't really...
Yeah, no, you shouldn't feel bad. Speaks' Bubby will be with us in Vegas.
So it's been kind of a devastating day for me with Bubba and then the bird, so...
Bubby. Yeah, it's okay. No, the Bears.
She was a large woman. Bubba the grandma.
She's a great big fat person.
I forgot.
He didn't even apologize, and you tried to tell him it's okay. He wasn't apologizing. You say right away, it's okay. He didn't apologize.
That's true. Yeah.
It's okay.
I should probably access my feelings more. I'm not sure what's wrong with me. But how have you guys, diehard White Sox fans, but exactly. I want to clarify or classify you guys that way, but then I always get pushbacks. So I don't even really know at this point. Do you have your season tickets, Shane?
No.
You did not?
I did not renew.
You did not renew officially?
No, officially. Did not renew.
Okay.
There's still time, though.
So you
renew?
You're going? Oh, really? Season tickets are available?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you expect to?
Dude.
Yes. Okay.
Watching Yoan Moncada in the WBC and watching Lance Lynn shove the other night, I'm like, man, I want to be back there, don't I? I don't care about how they feel about me right now. I want to be back there.
They're fine with you.
Okay.
They're fine with you. It's me they have the issue with. No, it's going to be fine. They're going to be fine with all of us. Everything's going to be fine on that regard. And they're still a very exciting team. And Yoan Moncada dominated the WBC. I thought Benetti's answer was interesting about Yoan Moncada, honestly. Because I know Spiegs has wanted it to be true that there could be this jumping off point and, you know, this Team USA basketball moment. And my thing was like, well, it's a newer event. And a lot of the stuff around Team USA basketball was it was extra basketball. And it got some players around superstars that they would otherwise not be around. And then they learned from them. And you had to, you know, you would travel and it would be weeks of training camp and multiple year commitment. This, you drop in for a couple of weeks and you go back and you would otherwise be at spring training. Didn't strike me as necessarily the same thing, but it's certainly competitive games. Do we have what Benetti said about it? I can paraphrase it. I can paraphrase it. Okay. He basically was like, my bad, Tanny. I apologize.
No, you're good.
No,
we don't have part-timers here anymore to cut tape, unfortunately.
My bad. And
if you want a delay, though, I'll get it.
No.
I just really have to stretch.
I can easily
just talk slow.
I can easily paraphrase. He basically was like a guy who you watch, who you don't always know how much emotion is going on there. Like, is he stoic? Is he upset? Is he thrilled? It's tough to read his body language, was how Benetti put it. When you see him have that type of joy, be pumped up and all that, you know it's in there. Could be like a rejuvenating thing, have him extra, you know, fall in love with the game. I'm paraphrasing again, but like, that was interesting to me. And with Moncada, he's been crushing the ball, avoided the concussion on the collision the other day. He is one of those guys that obviously as like the centerpiece of the sale trade came number 7 ranked prospect in baseball, a ton of hype around him. And then you watch him and it feels like he's underachieved because when you watch him, it feels like this guy should be an MVP candidate. And that's just not been what the guy has made an all-star team. Like, That is a jarring thing. And it happens all the time in baseball where top flight prospects don't pan out. Failure rate of pitchers is higher than position players. But for both, like just because you are at times a top prospect in an organization doesn't mean that you're going to be a top player at the big league level. But you still see it with Yoan Moncada. You see the natural power. You see all the tools. You see the speed. You see the base running. You see the versatility. And you feel like that guy should be a perennial all-star who could be one of the best players on the team who's got a crazy high ceiling. And I have not consumed a ton of the WBC, but if he's crushing the ball, that feels bigger than if he was having a great spring. Because if a guy's having a great spring, what we say is the results don't matter. And that's because they don't. Like, the players don't care. They leave the game. All the players that are playing in spring training are not even necessarily trying. Zach Greinke the other day was like, I was just wanting to work on my pickoff move. Like, He wasn't even worried about his delivery to the plate or the results of the at-bats. He was just, you know, he's a little bit of a wackadoodle. But, like, sometimes guys will be like, yeah, you know, I was just trying to work on this pitch, or I was just trying to execute this thing, or I was just trying to get into that situation. And the results of the game do not matter. But in the WBC, the results clearly matter to the players involved. They clearly are trying harder. They are clearly playing more, playing longer, all of that stuff. And if on the biggest stage that he's able to play in now, where he's showing emotion that we don't otherwise see from him, he's playing some of his best baseball, that's a reasonable thing to at least get hope from. And the White Sox have a lot of guys like that. You feel like you haven't seen Eloy's ceiling. You feel like you haven't seen Robert's ceiling. You feel like you haven't seen Moncada's ceiling. And if all three of those guys have 80 to 90 percentile seasons, not even like their best season, but if they just have what should be like an upper quadrant season for them in terms of expectations, the White Sox will have a very good offense this year. Have you guys bought into the Yoan Moncada hype based on the WBC?
Yes. I tweeted it a couple weeks ago. I think the way that he just feels different right now. I think he's going to be a top three MVP candidate in the AL.
Wow. So
I think he's going to mash. I'm 100% in on Yoan Moncada if he can stay healthy. That's something we've never seen before.
Right.
Never seen him stay healthy. Never seen Eloy stay healthy. Never seen Luis Robert stay healthy. We saw Tim Anderson stay healthy for quite a while until last year. I think this is a White Sox team that people are going to be talking a lot about this summer. And it's not even like blind fandom, because I'm pissed off at them right now. So it's not even like honeymoon stars in my eyes. I love the White Sox. I'm such a big White Sox fan. I'm just trying to look at it logically. And if these guys just even 70% of them regress to the mean, then they're a 90-win team. There's too much talent to not say that they're a 90-win team. Their bullpen's already lights out, and they're going to look great even without Liam Hendricks. If the starting pitching just regresses to the mean and the offense regresses to the mean, they win 90 games.
That feels ambitious because injuries do happen.
Right.
But they weren't even like the most injured team in baseball last year. They just don't have a ton of depth. Like if their stars either get hurt or don't play like stars, they don't have the organizational depth to cover it. But you saying top three MVP candidates, so you still think that's in there. Does that mean you think he's the best player on the team? Because I've transitioned away from
it. I think he should be.
I think it's Robert.
If it's not TA, then it's Moncada, in my opinion. Wow. Luis Robert, man,
natural, man.
You look at him, and it's like he should be one of the best players in the league.
Correct.
Without a doubt. But he's never come anywhere close to even putting it together. So why am I supposed to believe that he is?
That's
why
right.
Am I supposed to believe that Luis Robert should be hitting 35 home runs and stealing 30 bases and getting 40 doubles and 10 triples? Why am I supposed to believe that? He's never even come close to showing me that he's that player.
So you're saying because Moncada's 2019 season was close, where he's still
top three in AL Rookie of the Year, is his rookie year, obviously, and the next year he was awesome. It's just, I believe in Moncada more than I do in Luis Robert.
Yeah. 2019 Moncada, 25 homers, 915 OPS, 40 walks, cut down on his strikeouts by 70 from the year before, hit 315 that year. That's a pretty great season.
I mean, you watch that guy hit a home run from the left side of the plate, and the possibilities seem endless. That's one of the sweetest swings in baseball.
That's how I felt when I saw him squaring up 90-plus from a right-handed pitcher going the opposite field. You don't even have to hit a home run. Just hit that double off the wall going opposite field. You could Cadillac it into second base like you did. That's fine. But when you're hitting the ball that hard, I don't care what you do. So, like, I see it there, too. And I've been a fan of Yoan Moncada's since he got here, because you have to think about all, you know, he looks like the 10 out of 10 looks, and he looks like he's a superstar. But this game is still so much mental, and how you deal with mental struggles. And you talk about dealing with a franchise that's had a lot of, you know, turmoil in terms of the coaches and the messaging that he's had to deal with since. And, you know, he's played for his third manager now. So, like, these, a lot of things that go on mentally, I think, you know, that tells you more of a story about a guy than just looking at a guy physically and be like, oh, yeah, this guy should be this. Like, because then you get into trouble when you try to project what you think someone should be based on how they look. Not talking to you, but just generally White Sox fans. I think he's unfairly criticized. Like, some of the criticisms are fair. Do I think he's a 100%er, meaning he's a guy that's got to be 100% to be out there playing? I think some of those criticisms have been fair, like leaving the game early and you find out the injury is nothing significant, really, in retrospect. Like, this is before some of the COVID stuff in 2020. Like, I think those criticisms are fair, but generally I think he's unfairly criticized by White Sox fans because he's one of these guys that he looks like it's so easy for him when he is being successful, if that makes any sense.
Well, I think it does, and I thought that what we talked about it with Pedro Grifol, he was asked about it a lot. If Pedro Grifol is uniquely qualified, given his life experience and his communication ability, and I'm not just talking about linguistically, I'm talking about direct communication, paternal tough love, what he did as a motivator for Salvador Perez. I'm not just talking about because he could speak Spanish. If he is uniquely qualified to get the best out of Luis Robert and Yoan Moncada, who are similar in the way, because I disagree with you that we've never seen it from Robert, right? Like, Robert, second in Rookie of the Year, Gold Glove, and then he only had he only played like 65, 70 games, but he was awesome offensively that year. He didn't play enough. He got hurt, but he was having a great offensive season that year. That, like, if he can get both of those guys to unlock their potential, because I obviously none of us can speak to this experience, but I thought it was like the video that was going around of them getting booed playing for the Cuban national team and what is going on there and their family still being back in Cuba and them, and especially Moncada, like, showing more energy and enthusiasm and joy playing for Cuba than we've maybe seen him play when he's been with the White Sox. I cannot imagine, and I've talked to a couple of guys about it throughout my career, but, like, obviously it's not something that I can possibly relate to, of, like, defecting, leaving everything that you know, leaving your family, the struggles and sacrifices that you have to make to do that, to live your dream, to maximize your, you know, natural God-given abilities and talents while worrying about them living in an oppressive country in different conditions. How long has it been since you've seen them, communicated with them, all those things. I remember talking to Wilson Contreras about it in Venezuela and the civil war that was going on there and the violence that was there. And he talked about, like, it was hard for him to, like, worry about his family and then execute a pitching game plan and try to hit 2-for-4 with a double. Like, these guys have so much more going on for them mentally and in their personal life than we can ever relate to, that I think it's absolutely in play that Pedro Grifol was hired for. We have these players, specifically Luis Robert, Yoan Moncada, and Eloy Jimenez, that have perennial all-star MVP caliber ceilings that we haven't gotten through to consistently enough. Can you do that? Like, if those guys have career years, that will be something that I, at least, will be watching. But also, like, we struggle a lot in this business of, like, figuring out how to assign managerial value to things. If he unlocks some sort of, I don't know, Benetti watches every inning of every game and is in the clubhouse and on the field. So, like, when he said that he struggles with Yoan Moncada's body language, I feel like that gives some validity to it. Because I agree with Tanny that, like, sometimes it's probably unfair and it's tropes and stereotypes and whatever the case may be. But, like, maybe Pedro Grifol can channel something and unlock something in Yoan Moncada to get him to play with that level of freedom and passion and joy that he played with when he had Cuba across his chest, when he's got White Sox across his chest, and he has a career year. I have no idea, but maybe that's the reason they hired the guy.
Pedro talked about it for 5-6 minutes on my Bourbon and a Buddy episode, yeah. In the conversations that he's had with Yoan Moncada, and that feeling that you get as a player when you come off the field and you've got to FaceTime your family because you haven't seen them in 2-3 years. The effect that that has to have on someone, and Pedro Grifol, who's been through it, who saw his father have to go through it, or his stepdad.
Yeah.
But saw what these guys are currently feeling. This team isn't going to just benefit from a new manager bump. They're benefiting from removing the last guy. It's not always just an attitude change with the new guy. It's an attitude change losing the last guy. I know it to be fact. The majority of those guys didn't even want to be in that clubhouse last year. The environment was so bad. The vibes were so bad. Nobody wanted to be there. Pedro Grifol is single-handedly having to change the culture, but also redo completely what the last guy messed up so much.
Yeah,
he's getting rid of the clicks.
Well, no, that's it, and we'll see if that sustains. You know what I mean? Because guys are separate right now for the WBC, and it's spring. Let's see if that sustains when they have some adversity in the season. Right now, it's everything's good right now and rosy. But yet, can Yoan Moncada produce for the White Sox like he produced for the Cuban national team? And play with that type of joy? I have no idea. But I'd imagine that's a huge priority for Pedro Grifol to figure it out. And if he gets that, maybe it will be a catalyst for it. And it'll be interesting to see how many people attribute that to Moncada, Grifol, the WBC. But that's a reason for White Sox optimism. And yeah, Texter, we did see the story. We were talking about it before the show. The Cuban catcher defecting after last night's game is the bullpen catcher, right? Just didn't show up for the team playing. I mean, like, just like talk about something that we can't relate to or understand. So the personal life things, the pressures, it's not, we talk about the pressure of the modern athlete. Oh, but they're millionaires. Nah, man. These are different levels of pressure than the vast majority of us can relate to. And money doesn't solve all of them. And it's been great to see. It's been encouraging to see. And it'll be one of, if not the single biggest questions for the White Sox, of whether or not it translates over. Because, I mean, the Cubs have some of it. Like, Javier Assad, 6 strikeouts, 5 2/3 innings, dominant performances against the USA lineup and the Puerto Rico lineup. You know, that's a good thing for the Cubs. Cubs all of a sudden have pitching depth. It's crazy. Sampson's going to start the year potentially in Iowa because Wisniewski's been so good. I just need the Cubs to have guys with upside for me to believe in, like, the long-term future of it. And it seems like Wisniewski does.
What's your win floor, like 120 wins?
Yeah, exactly. To me, that's like, people are, oh, you're such a hater. It's not a hater. I think that the Cubs' plan is foundationally strong. The organization is good. I just think that their margin for error is still so small because of the lack of star power and upside, both in the front end of the pitching staff, but most notably in the 2, 3, 4, and 5 spots in the order, that's where I worry about them. But find a few guys with high ceilings, I'm right back in there for it. We're out a little early for Bulls. Want to talk Bulls briefly and pose a question to these guys about the watchability of baseball and going forward here, because a friend of the show made a very interesting point. It's next on The Score.
Parkins and Spiegel Show Flashback.
Jason Benetti, the voice of everything, is with us. So you've called spring training games with the new rules. You've called World Baseball Classic games without them. How jarring is the back and forth now?
Yeah, I think people, after about a month of this baseball season, my inkling is people will say, I never want to go back.
So I already know I never want to go back. I love it, but I just needed to read about it, to be honest with you. Like, I didn't even need to see it. They clearly did the homework. It was there in the data, and then you watch even a little bit of some spring training games, and it's so very clearly better, and they'll work some stuff out, and they'll figure out the flow and the pace to it. Like, one thing I was thinking about is it going to have the moments for the ovations and the pauses? And, you know, a clip was going around on my timeline the other day of Joe Maddon going out to the mound to take David Ross out of the game so David Ross could get an ovation walking off the field. Like, are they going to have to figure out, you know, I saw a guy needed to use his timeout in the batter's box to acknowledge an ovation from the crowd. Like, are they going to figure out ways to allow for some of, like, the pageantry and the moments and the romance to still be there within like the nuts and bolts of all this? My guess is they will. But so Benetti has called games with the new rules and the WBC without. That was his answer. And then I saw our friend Roy Wood Jr. say on Twitter that nobody would complain about baseball games being 3 hours if they were like WBC games. These have been so fun to watch. Do you guys agree with that?
No.
Neither did I. Tanny, you've watched some WBC.
Yeah, I've not had it. I mean, last night being the blowout, that was the worst part about that. I did not have a problem with the length of that game whatsoever or any other game. So, yeah.
So the WBC, so it would make up for it for you. So, like, I just, the thing is that baseball will never be able to recreate what the World Baseball Classic has going for it in terms of atmosphere for a couple of reasons. The most notable is 162 of them, right? That's the biggest reason. It's what we talked about at the start of the show. It's what we talked about a little bit with Benetti. Single elimination sports lead to craziness and passion, and we should figure out a way to get more of it into sports. It's what makes the World Cup after groups play amazing. It's what makes the NCAA tournament amazing. It's what makes the WBC amazing after its stage play. Whenever you have single elimination or game seven, that's when you get the best environments, right?
Also the rules of the Hunger Games.
Yeah.
Everyone should be murdered.
Get more of that into sports. Absolutely. But like, so that's something that baseball just will not be able to recreate. But then the other part of it, the players are not going to have the same passion because you're not going to have the same pride for the Pittsburgh Pirates as you are your home country, right? That makes sense.
But, dude, speak for yourself, man.
No, I know. You're a huge Pirates. You guys are going to Pittsburgh in April. So you guys will have way more pride for the black and gold and the red, white, and blue. But it's, if they could figure out a way to transfer even one-tenth of the energy in the crowd from international baseball to Major League Baseball, that would be such a huge bonus. Because not only would you feel it in the stadium, you would feel it on the broadcast. Television is a, you got to sell it. Part of what makes the presentation of March Madness great is the crying kid and the crying cheerleader and the screaming.
You just like people crying, dude. What's wrong with you?
I love it. It's the greatest. But like, that's part of it. Part of what makes these college atmospheres so awesome to watch on television is the student section. And the craziness of it. That's a huge draw and a huge appeal. But, and again, it's very difficult to get that in 82 regular season NBA games or 162 regular season baseball games. It's just very hard to get that passion from the players or the fans when the one game doesn't mean as much.
Did you watch any of the game on Saturday night, the USA game on Saturday night?
Very little.
I'm. This is not hyperbole. The feeling I had when Trey Turner hit the Grand Slam was a stronger feeling than I had about any White Sox memory of 2022. That was one of the coolest things I've felt in a very, very long time. I want to feel that way about standard American Major League Baseball.
The only way it happens is in the biggest games at the end of the year. You know, like you'd feel that way on a walk-off home run to win a pennant.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, I mean, remember 2005 moment, blackout game? Like,
yeah,
you had,
yeah.
You know,
I miss it.
It's hard
because baseball can make you feel that way.
Yes,
that's what people don't understand. Like, baseball can make you feel the way you feel when Justin Fields breaks off a 75-yard run for a touchdown. It can make you feel that way.
Yeah, it's just if the White Sox hit a game winner on June 3rd. You might jump out of your seat. You might high-five some people around you, but it's very difficult.
There are too many games.
There's just the game. And so
there are too many.
They're right. But whatever you can do to get the party atmosphere into it, noisemakers, music during the game.
Cup snakes, man.
Bands, cup snakes. We love fun. All of that stuff. Like whatever you can do to just go for 10% of it, it'd be better for the sport. Fun test for the Bulls. I am bordering on getting ready to prepare to say hey, Arturis, you were right. Maybe you should not have blown it up. Not because they're going to win anything of consequence, but because if they really were just a point guard away and a healthy Zach LaVine away, I don't think the majority of execs would have blown it up. Now, if they lose Vooch for nothing in the offseason, different story. But 7-4 since Beverly, he's making the argument they should be 9-2 with the game winners against Sacramento and Indiana. You've never beat Joel Embiid. You play him twice in the next 3 days. Let's see if you can get him tonight in Philly. You're 8-point underdogs. See if you can go get him. Thank you to Jason Benetti and Darnell Mayberry. They were the guests on today's show. Kevin Lapka, Connor O'Donnell, Twitch chat video stream. Thank you, sirs. Kevin Lapka crushing it with the images that you've seen all over the Scores Twitter.
And hashtag creativity.
Instagram account.
Really good job, Kevin.
Shane Ridden, our executive producer. Thank you, sir. Chris Tannehill makes it sound better than we are each and every day. For Matt Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkins. We are Parkins and Spiegel. This is The Score.
I'm on it. See ya.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.